Welcome to a special presentation of the original radio play, The Timid Prince, by The Radio Players.
Shyness is an emotion that can unsettle even the most powerful of people. No less than the Crown Prince Charlie has been afflicted with a bashful nature since birth. Women frighten him the most. A feminine word or two aimed in his direction has the ability to make him feel faint. His mother, the imperious Queen Bee, commands her son overcome this childish behavior. Sniggers and whispers have haunted Charlie forever. None are more appalled at this shortcoming than himself. Can Max the Magnificent Wizard cure the sad prince? The answer lies in tonight's episode. First, let's meet the cast of The Timid Prince.
I'm Peg Falcone. I'll be the narrator and Cecily in waiting.
I'm Christopher Thundy. I will be Prince Charlie.
I'm Heather Barnett, and I'll be playing Lady Beth.
I'm Eric Billingsley. I'll be reading Duke Derek and Crispus.
I'm Elizabeth Donahue, and I'll be Queen Beatrice.
I'm Kevin Rathundi, and I will be Max the Magnificent.
I'm Steve Falcone, and I'll be Baron Bart.
The Timid Prince, a radio play by Steve Falcone. Scene 1. Prince Charlie hung back in the shadows of his own ball, hidden from the soft light of a chandelier filling the great chamber. All for him. Queen Beatrice had dubbed this a seasonal occasion of merriment, though everyone knew the true purpose of the dance was to select a suitable match for her son, the heir apparent to the throne. Though short of stature, Charlie was handsome, of noble bearing, and capable enough in the manly crafts of swordplay and jousting, sports he seemed to enjoy. He mounted his steed with grace and authority. It was indoors that the diminutive prince fell short. Prince Charlie was shy, painfully, achingly so. The very presence of a lady caused him to break out in a sweat and seek asylum from such an unbearable situation. This social affliction had bedeviled him since early youth, earning him the label of the Timid Prince and the giggles of females, young and old, noble and common, throughout the realm. Even Lady Beth, whom Charlie had known since childhood, was not immune from sending the prince into a frenzy, as her approach now did.
Peekaboo. Will you never be still upon seeing me, Charlie? I should think all the years we've known one another might create tranquility between us. Wouldn't you imagine? Honestly, we're not children anymore. This isn't our first ball, or second, or even third. You are Crown Prince Charles IV, and it's high time you began to act like it. I know you're well aware that your mother bade me come coax you from your haven to greet your guests and dance. That I am to be your first partner was clear. She gave me that imperious gaze. You know the look, the queen bee glance? Oh, that's the spirit. Come and dance with me.
Can't.
Won't, more like it. Still the willful little princeling.
A young knight of powerful bearing steps forward and bows.
May I be of assistance, my lady?
Oh, Derek, I don't... It's Charlie.
What?
Charlie. In there.
Oh, my comrade in arms. Charles the Greatheart. Lurking in the dark?
No.
It must be that palace rat that gave Ella the scullery maid such a fright.
I can't blame the lass if the rodent talked to her.
Gives me the creeps.
Ha ha.
Might not be such an unpleasant creature if it lasts.
Ought we tell Ella that her rat's easily amused?
Hadn't we rather take advantage of this lively rondo?
Lady Beth takes Derek's hand.
Let's do. Pay no mind to Charlie. He's like the brother I never had.
You wish.
Scene 2. Charlie's chastened stance, head hung in chagrin, says it all. Perhaps not quite all, as his mother arrives on the scene.
What ought I say to you at this moment, Charles?
Go to your room.
Oh, you'd dearly love that, wouldn't you? The ideal place to spend the rest of your life?
How many times have we had this discussion?
Oh, How many times have you heeded your mother's counsel?
Endlessly.
Never. This shyness is most unbecoming. It was cute, if off-putting, when you were a child. It is truly unbefitting of a fully grown prince.
Shyness is not a phase one simply grows out of, mother. Shy I was born, shy I remain. Shy shall I most likely die.
Fiddle faddle. Such social awkwardness is easily overcome if one truly makes an effort.
Don't you think I've tried? Tried and tried and tried to no avail. I see a female, I freeze. Turn to stone, incapable of the most rudimentary speech.
Need I remind you, Charles, that I am a female?
You don't count, you're my mother.
Oh, thank you so very much.
A young lady of the court passes by. Greetings, Your Majesty. Such a pleasure to see you.
Delighted to see you.
Cecily, Majesty.
Yes, of course. May I say that you're looking more lovely than ever?
Your Majesty is so kind.
Not at all. Up, my dear. I wish you to meet my son.
Turns to find Charlie fled.
Well, there you have it. You know how pressing matters can be when you're crown prince.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Perhaps another time.
I very much look forward to it. Farewell, Majesty. Queen Bee scowls as Charlie reappears at her side.
That was most unbecoming for a prince. Rude is what it was.
Wholeheartedly agree. Also necessary to maintain equilibrium. Can't have a crown prince fainting before a lady of the court in the great chamber.
What we will not have is any more of this unseemly behavior. Not a word, Charles. Not another word. You've had your say. You shall overcome this tomfoolery because I say you shall. Present yourself to Maxwell forthwith.
That charlatan?
That wizard. He sees beyond time to the heart of all earthly matters. He shall know how best to heal your affliction.
I very much doubt that.
I do not. As your monarch, and most importantly, your mother, I command you to present yourself to Max for his ministrations. Is that crystal clear?
Yes, Your Majesty.
And?
Yes, Mother.
Scene 3. With heavy tread, Charlie follows a twisting path to a leafy bower. Brows knitted, he shakes his head.
This can't be right. No fit place for a wizard.
Intent to obey, the little prince wraps the dragon door knocker before him.
Hello within! Greetings, Wizard of Wisdom.
As I live and breathe, still doing both, you see, if it isn't the little Prince Charlie. Oh, been a long time, How fare thee?
Well, I feel that I'm just fine.
Oh, glorious to hear.
Mother has other notions on the matter.
Oh, she usually does. How is our dear monarch,
Implacable. Undaunted, resolute.
I'd expect no less from such a force of nature. She has doubtless sent you here to be illuminated by my powers.
How did you...
I'm a wizard, Charlie, despite your opinion of me.
Of course you are. Always have been Maxwell the Magnificent, an honor to our realm.
In your mother's eyes, yes. In your father's eye, much less. In your eyes, not at all, I suspect. No need to deny it, lad. Honest feelings are always the best. To each a right to an opinion. You, more than most, I'd say.
You know why Mother sent me here.
Your mother has a way of making her wishes well known.
She has a way, her way. She thinks quite highly of you.
Well, we go back a ways, Queen Bee and me. Your mother relied on me when your father died. You were too small to recall any of this.
Yeah, my fleeting memories of father are a tall, sparkly figure.
Well, I can see how you'd picture him that way at your age, at so young. Well, your mother's vision was understandably darker. A grim time for her, with the loss of her love and a sudden realm to run. A devastating task for a widow.
Which she surmounted admirably, all agree. Only now do I learn that you've been a part of Mother's endurance during that arduous time.
Oh, hardly a large part of that magnificent woman's triumph. I provided a nudge when needed, a friendly ear when lonely.
Convincing Mother that you were the answer to my social reticence.
Might not numbing shyness strike closer to the mark, Your Highness?
By any name, my condition remains deeply personal, hardly subject to the scrutiny of others.
I see. So, you fully intend to continue through life, even upon mounting the throne, scared stiff at the sight of a female, hmm?
I submit. Help me, heal me, whatever you do.
Well, there's little I can do in the face of such an ingrained inclination.
Alas, I'm doomed to a lifetime terror of women.
There is a possible cure for your condition. Magic is the answer. Yes, I'm aware you're not a believer, which is unfortunate. The elixir cannot empower without willing belief of the one who drinks.
I shall give it my best effort.
Not good enough, nor nearly sufficient to activate the potion.
How can I believe what I don't believe?
Well, push yourself. Pull yourself. Go forth and seek out a damsel to converse with. Amuse her. Stir her with your wit. Invite her to a ball, a tournament. Why, take her by the hand.
Enough. Just listening has me faint.
Well, if that's your attitude, my elixir will clearly do you no good.
What in heaven's name would you have me do, Master Wizard?
Attack the task with a will. Grab it with both hands and shake it until it yields to you.
Very well. I'm in. Where's this life-changing elixir?
This frothy liquid in the beaker.
That inky substance with smoke billowing from it.
The means to success are not always toothsome.
Or palatable.
Well, the choice is yours.
Let us have at it.
Grabs beaker and downs a large slug.
Well done, Your Highness. Bit rough going down, but that's to be expected.
Oddly, I did not expect it.
Well, the effect should be almost immediate.
I do feel somewhat exhilarated, ready, anxious even to be amongst my people, men and women alike.
Splendid. Oh, you bear the mark of a monarch about to mingle with both genders, wed and single.
Do I? Course I do. Why shouldn't I be eager for charm to brighten my day?
Nary a reason leaps to mind, sire.
You truly are a wizard.
Well, we shall see, Charlie. Time will tell.
Scene 4. Prince Charlie's stride is decidedly energized as he moves toward the great chamber with purpose. The heir apparent even whistles. Mid-stride, the prince hears a voice.
Feeling sunny, are we?
Charlie stops, looks about, seeing no one, continues.
Come on, Charlie, don't play dumb. You heard me.
I don't hear a thing.
Then who are you talking to?
Nobody.
It's been a long time.
I don't recall.
Of course you do.
I can't see anybody.
Of course you can't. That's the whole point of an imaginary friend.
Go away!
Impossible. You created me. I'm always here.
I uncreated you ages ago.
Yeah, you didn't mean it.
How dare you? Real or not, addressing the crown in such a manner has consequences.
Which would be?
I shall simply ignore you out of existence.
Are you not recently attempting to stop ignoring people?
I'm not listening.
How then can I assist you in your pursuit?
Grand day altogether for facing life on my own.
You think it doesn't hurt to be shunned by a boyhood chum? It hurts, Charlie. Hurts a lot. Imaginary friends have feelings too, in case you didn't know.
I didn't.
Well, I suppose you don't remember naming me. Well, you did name me. Recall what you called me? I certainly do.
Crispin.
Best friend ever for this little boy, better by far than any other toy. You'll be by my side forever, my Crispin, my friend.
Charlie comes upon Lady Beth and an enormous knight he recognizes as Baron Bart, who has menaced the prince since infancy.
Good day, milady. How fare you this morning?
Charlie? Is that you?
Charlie kisses Lady Beth's hand.
Who other admires your charm and beauty more?
Are you quite well, Your Highness?
Never better. Time to be about the realm to mingle with my people.
Majesty, that's wonderful.
Has our small princeling gotten taller?
Greetings, Bart. You're looking well.
Sound as ever. Fit to lead our army to victory in any call to arms.
You have always been among our finest knights in battle.
Among? First among all others, always in battle. Is that not what you mean?
I mean, you are an immense force in battle.
Behold the timid prince, puffing up his little chest regally.
Charlie draws a seething breath and deals a fierce backhand slap to Bart, catching the brute off guard and knocking him off his feet.
Speak so to me again on pain of death.
Bart stirs. Charlie steps forward.
Remain as you are. You may not rise until you apologize to your majesty on bended knee.
Let's give them what for, Charlie.
You stay out of this.
I've not said a word, sire.
Baron Bart on one knee.
Deepest apologies for my rudeness and my belittling behavior through the years, sire.
Rise, a friend of the realm. Give us your hand on future glories in our land.
Using the regal we at last?
He insists on including me in his regal status.
The we could be eternal bliss for thee and me, sweet lady, if you should deign to be my queen.
This so sudden. I've only awaited those words my whole life.
Would you, Baron Bart, do me the great honor to stand as my best man?
Overlooked again?
The best man stands before me. My friend and sire, I shall stand up to guard and guide this man and his bride through all that befalls to eternity.
Hopefully we won't wait that long, though this turn of events is breathtaking.
I must move swiftly lest the elixir wanes.
Pardon, sire?
Charlie takes her in his arms.
I plight my troth, sweet maiden, to cherish you through eternity.
Kisses her.
Goblets!
Steward, top up the goblets with wine for all. We hail our future king and queen's eternal happiness.
The usual.
This has been a special presentation of the original radio play, The Timid Prince, written by Steve Falcone and performed by the Radio Players. This play was recorded live in the studios of WSIU Radio, post-production sound design by Hanice Coopwood.